Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special pre-Pesach in honor of Chodesh Nisan Shir. The Shir is called Halal HaMitzri, Finding God in the Supernatural. And we're going to be exploring insights really into Halal today, which plays an integral part into every one of the Yomim Tovim, Chanukah, but specifically it's an unusual occurrence that we recite Halal at the Pesach Seder as well. So not only do we say it in the mornings as we celebrate Yetziat Mitzrayim, but also at the Pesach Seder, which is unusual. So we're going to be speaking about Halal today. A story is told of Rav Levi... Louder? Sorry. A story is told about Rav Levi Yitzchak Abarditchev. How's better? A story is told about Rav Levi Yitzchak Abarditchev. The first night of Pesach, he didn't want to start the Seder yet. He wanted to send two groups of people, the great defender of the Jews, the Berditchev of Levi Yitzchak, he sent two groups of Jews on a special mission. Once the mission was complete, he said, now he will begin the Seder. One group of students was sent on a mission to find a Turkish shawl. This was during the war with Turkey, and anyone who had a Turkish shawl had to turn it into the police. It was forbidden, illegal to own one. Rav Levi Yitzchak wanted dozens of Turkish shawls. The other group he sent on a mission to come back with a fresh loaf of bread, baked in the home of a Jew. So the two groups of students went out. Rav Salvechik comments and telling the story. Chassidim, the Rebbe tells them to do something, no questions asked. It didn't take long, and the group assigned to find the shawls returned with a dozen shawls. And the group assigned to find the loaves of bread came back empty-handed. Rav Salvechik says, we observe the law. And it might be difficult to always observe the law, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but without police department, without coercion, without fear of jail, we don't need a physical fence or a physical boundary in order to observe the law around the mitzvahs. So we say, what I'm going to be doing is quoting different psukim from Halal, and we're going to be speaking about those psukim. Is my volume okay now? Can you hear? That's okay? Okay. B'tzeis Yisrael min Mitzrayim beis Yaakov me amloes. We famously say when Israel went out of Egypt, B'tzeis Yisrael min Mitzrayim beis Yaakov, the family of Yaakov me amloes was of a foreign tongue. Haisa Yehuda lekadsho Yisrael. Yehuda was to sanctify him. Yisrael mamshalos of Yisrael his dominion. So the Chassam Sofer teaches something very beautiful. B'tzeis Yisrael min Mitzrayim beis Yaakov me amloes. You learn from these verses about the strength of Knesset Yisrael. These verses from Tehillim, of course, which David HaMelech composed, which we recite in Halal, tell us about the laudable way, the praiseworthy way, says the Chassam Sofer, that the Jews conducted themselves in Egypt. B'tzeis Yisrael min Mitzrayim, the focus is on Yisrael. The same Yisrael, the same Shiftei Kah, the same children of Yisrael, of Yaakov Avinu, who went down, later went up. B'tzeis Yisrael min Mitzrayim, they did not change their names. They went down as Yisrael, says the Chassam Sofer, and they came up as Yisrael. Beis Yaakov me amloes, the house of Israel, was a foreign tongue, even regarding the least distinguished members of the family, those who had seemed to be assimilated, so to speak. The family of Yaakov did not change their native tongue either. So it's so beautiful that the Chassam Sofer finds in these verses an allusion to the strengths that kept us complete, if you will, in Egypt. First one is we didn't change our names. We know that. But it says Yisrael me Mitzrayim. The second one is we didn't change our language. Beis Yaakov me amloes. The house of Yaakov was a foreign tongue. Haisa Yehuda lekadsho. The focus there would be on. We know that there was no assimilation, intermarriage relations between the Egyptians and the Jews. So the focus here would be on. Haisa Yehuda lekadsho. Kodesh. What is marriage called? Kedushin. It's not called marriage. It's called holiness, sanctification. Haisa Yehuda lekadsho, even in their poverty, even during the worst days of our enslavement, we retained our sanctity. We did not engage in illicit relations. Yisrael mamshalos of Israel would be his dominion. Does anyone know the fourth thing that Chazal say in that mirror we were redeemed? Is it very warm in here? It's me. It's me? Yisrael mamshalos of Israel would be his dominion. Does anyone know the fourth thing that we didn't do that redeemed us out of Egypt? We kept our names. Close. We kept our language. Close. Close. Oh, it's okay, you're correct. So there are different opinions, actually. So it's not so clear-cut, you're right. But a different medrash tells us we didn't talk Lashon Hara. So look at the power. So we kept our names. You found us. Welcome. We kept our names. We kept our language. We did not engage in immorality, in illicit relationships. Yisra'a mam shalosav, Israel would be his dominion. Although we were ruthlessly dominated by the Egyptian oppressors, there were no informers trying to win Egyptian favor and escape oppression. There were none among the Jews who betrayed other Jews. There were no informers. We stood together, says the Chassam Sofer, a unified and independent nation. So we can derive tremendous Musar Haskel from this beautiful lesson. But say Yisra'a mam Mitzrayim, we must always be Yisra'a. What's Yisra'a? The same Israel who went down, who was a nation who was distinct. Vayerid Yaakov Mitzrayimah. That was who came up. But says Yisrael Mitzrayim. Beis Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez. We always maintained a different foreign tongue, our language. So you could say, what about our language today? I'm just thinking about it as I'm going through it. It's true that we speak the language of the country in which we live, but we also can look at the quality in the way in which we speak the language of the place in which we live. The Kodsho, we maintained our sanctity. So Amam Shalosov, there were no informers amongst us. In this merit, we were redeemed. We say, V'zehayam Asa Hashem, this is the day Hashem made, Nagila, V'nismecha bo, let us rejoice and be happy in it. Salvechik says, there are two types of prayer that are called halal. He's quoting the Gemara Masecha Shabbos. There are two different types of halal. The arrangement of these chapters that we commonly refer to as halal, Rosh Chodesh Bezras Hashem coming on Tuesday, we're going to say halal. In the Gemara is called halal hamitzri, which is the name of the shir where it is derived from. Halal hamitzri is the Egyptian halal. And the theme of the Egyptian halal is the miraculous. But say Yisra'am Mitzrayim, who would imagine that this people could ever come out of Egypt? Who could imagine? Hayam ra'a vayanas, the sea saw and fled. Hayardin Yusuf the Acher, the Jordan turns backwards when the people are crossing over. Hahovchi hatzur hagamayim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu changed the rock into a pond of water. These were miraculous events. They were not everyday occurrences. Halal hamitzri is finding God in the supernatural. There are occasions, says Rav Salavitchik, where the Creator breaches the process of nature and temporarily suspends the laws of the physical world. You heard what I said? There are times, says Rav Salavitchik, when the Creator breaches the laws of nature and suspends the laws of the physical world. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world is that it runs according to nature. But sometimes He changes nature. And then that's halal hamitzri. And we call it halal hamitzri. This term is used because we remember the supernatural events that God performed on behalf of His people on the night of Exodus. So when we say on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the El Seder, when we recite these capitals of Tehillim, which form the halal, halal hamitzri indicates it was miraculous, it was supernatural. It's not normal that fire and water should form together and fall down from the sky. That's unusual. However, there's another type of halal. And that type of halal, says Rav Salavitchik, this is very interesting and very beautiful and very important, is halal of Psukei Dezimra. When do we say Psukei Dezimra? Every morning. The theme of Psukei Dezimra is not the miraculous. It's a completely different type of halal, says Rav Salavitchik. It is rather, quote, the mundane forces of nature. Osa Shemayim Va'aretz, Asayam Va'eskal Sherbam. Hashem made Shemayim and Aretz, the sea and all that is in it. Hanosin Shala Katsamar. He makes snow like wool. Halu Shemesh V'yareach. The Shemesh and Yareach, the sun and the moon, praise Him. Kol Koch Ve'ar. All stars, all lights, all luminaries, praise God. We start with Ashrei, says Rav Salavitchik. We conclude with Kol HaNeshama Tehalal Ka, let every soul praise God. This is a halal where God reveals Himself through the powerful forces of nature. Rav Salavitchik says, is there any greater miracle than the sun rising in the morning? Well, we don't think of it. Why? Because does anyone here doubt when you go to bed at night that the sun is going to rise in the morning? Not in the west, in the east. You have a doubt? No, why? Because it's nature. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world through nature. But we have to praise and recognize that even nature, the Ramban points this out famously in the book of Shemos, even nature is a nace. But the way Hashem made it, we forget. But halal psukei dezimra praises God through the nature, through the natural. And the halal hamitzri, which we recite on Pesach, on the Shalosh Yogamim, on Leil HaSeder, focuses on the supernatural. Therefore, says Rav Salavitchik, there are two ways to approach God, through the natural and through the supernatural. And you know, sometimes the supernatural becomes natural. What do I mean by that?
You see a nest happening again and again and again. It becomes like Tevra.
Beautiful. I'm going to repeat it. A nes that happens again and again and again can become like Teva. So I don't usually talk about this. It's not written in. The reason I'm quiet is I'm debating if I should be saying it. I'm going to share it. I think that it's important for purposes of our understanding that sometimes Teva, sometimes a miracle can become nature. If you know a child with cochlear implants who is a successful cochlear implant user, you understand what this means. One of my professors, okay, my degree is in audiology. Yes, I have a bachelor's in speech and hearing. I have a master's in audiology. Okay, Hashem took me on a different path. But I remember one of the things that Dr. Adrian Rubenstein said when I was in school, one of the first conferences on cochlear implants, for those who are not familiar, a person who is profoundly deaf and has no usable hearing can have a certain surgery. We're not going to go into it now. They implant something electric into the inner ear, and a person can, with proper therapy and implant it at a young age, become successful, like a normal hearing person. It's unbelievable. And one of the first conferences on cochlear implants in the 1970s, I believe, I don't remember so much from school, it was a long time ago, I'm not in that field anymore. It made such an impact on me. One of the professors stood up and he said, one of the lead researchers in the field stood up at the conference and he said, this will never work. I'm quoting Dr. Adrian Rubenstein. So what does it mean if you would tell someone 50 years ago, HaMesiach Yomim, that's part of Nishmas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the mute speak. He'll open them up. He'll make them speak and hear. So what would the person have said? Hashem could do whatever he wants, but it's never going to happen. It's completely lamala min ateva. Completely. But sometimes the Kosh Baruch Hu changes teva. And now people look, and it's not such a pella. It just happens. It's very nice. You get used to it. So there are two ways to approach God, says Rav Soloveitchik. Sometimes through the supernatural. That's the whole focus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It should not have been. Animals from all over the world are pouring in. How could you have giraffes with polar bears? It's different climates. I remember reading about Rabbi Jurevel a few years ago, they brought the climate with them. So if you were next to the polar bear, it was freezing. And if you were next to the, I don't know, wildebeest from Africa, it was boiling from the Masai Mara. But it's totally l'mala min ateva. That's halo ha-mitzri, the nace of finding God through the supernatural. And then there's the halo psukei dezimra, which is no less of a halo, but it's teva. And there are two ways to approach the Ribono she'olam. Every day as we watch the sun rise, the clouds cloud, the flowers blossom, the snow fall, the raindrops pour. Maybe not, I hope, but we need it, Gishmei Brecha. We praise Hashem through the natural. And yet, on Leil HaSeder, on Chag HaPeitzos, on Chag HaPesach, on Chag HaMatzos, we recount the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt. Not the natural, but the supernatural. We find Hashem through that mode, through that medium, through that vehicle, and through this we praise Him. Rav Asher Weiss Shlita notes, on Seder night, we must emphasize the miraculous fashion of Yetziat Mitzrayim. That has to be pointed out. It has to be stressed that it was through Nisim and Niflaos. If it seems from our description that Hashem freed us in a natural way, we do not fulfill our obligation of Yigatel bin Chaviyamahu. Coin from Rav Asher Weiss, one of the post-Kei Hadar. Man is Ga'an and Gadol, he doesn't need my accolades. If it seems from our description that Hashem freed us in a natural way, we do not fulfill our obligation. The miracles of the Exodus must be emphasized, says Rav Asher Weiss, because they are a central pillar of our Amunah. Ramban, Nachmanides writes, Sefer Shmos, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav, by contemplating the revealed miracles, we take notice of the hidden miracles that constantly occur to every Jew. When you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do miracles and does do miracles and took us out through Nisim v'Niflaos, it brings us to an appreciation that everything that happens is actually miraculous. Accordingly, Ramban states, on Seder night, we must tell of the miracles and the wonders our forefathers experienced. The rest of the year, we talk about Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kiddush. Talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim and Berkas Kriya Shema. The rest of the year, we can recall the Exodus from Egypt. But on Seder night, it's not only the Exodus, but it is also Halo HaMitzri, the focus on the supernatural. It's clear? I remember when I was starting the journey with my son, who hears through two cochlear implants. And I realized that it was he could hear. And it's interesting. I really don't talk about this. I realized he could hear on Pesach. It was a month after he was turned on, like they call it in cochlear implant language, terminology. And I was just telling the kids a story the other night, and I started crying when I was telling it. I realized it was Pesach, when he responded appropriately to a song, and he took out his hands and started clapping that I was singing. So I remember I was talking to a friend, and I said to her, she has also gone through the same experience. And I said something about what was going on, and she said, "You'll get used to it." You understand what happens with Teva? And I remember saying, and believe me, I was a different person then. I was not the person I am today. But I remember even then saying, "I don't want to ever get used to it." And it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in two ways. But sometimes we get too used to nature and we focus on the miraculous. And we have to know that there's two kinds of challah. On Leil HaSeder, you got to focus on the miraculous. But take the experience of the miraculous and apply it to the rest of your life. And realize that even Teva is a tremendous nes. I made a bracha before I started. B'chol dar v'dar chayiv, something we discussed briefly in Thursday class. B'chol dar v'dar chayiv adam lirosis atzmo kihulu hu yatzom mitzrayim. In each and every generation, we say it in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt. So the truth is, it's hard to see yourself as if you left Pharaonic Egypt. Now, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. I don't know. Maybe people won't like it. But like Lamaisa, I'm not talking about my grandparents' generation who were who lived through the Shoah and who were freed. I'm talking about me and my generation. It's very hard to see this if I actually left Egypt. So how do I fulfill b'chol dar v'dar chayev adam lirosis atzmo kilu yatzam mimitzrayim? How do I fulfill this obligation? I don't really feel like I left Egypt. I'm being intellectually honest with you. But what we pointed out is that Mitzrayim is also the word of Mitzarim. The 3 weeks between Shivasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av are called Bein HaMitzarim. It means between the straits, in the tight places, in a constricted place. So Mitzrayim and Mitzarim, Egypt and straits, are the exact same word. So there's the exact same letters. Mitzarim, Mitzrayim. It's the same. Only thing that changes the nekudos. So the truth is, even if you can't feel like you actually left Egypt, by the way, I'm not condoning this behavior, I'm just trying to be intellectually honest. It's difficult for me to say that. I actually feel like I was in Pharaonic Egypt building bricks and pyramids thousands of years ago. But every person in life this past year has gone through instances, stages, situations of Mitzarim. Nobody could, I don't think, no one could say I didn't have tough times over the past year. It could be big tough times, it could be small tough times, there's hard things that we go through. On the night of Challah HaMitzri, on the night of praising God for the miraculous, realize you too are part of the great miracle. B'chol dar v'dar, whoever you are, in whatever generation, wherever you live, Chayav Adam, you are obligated. Lir'ot et atzmo, you yourself went, ki'ilu hu yatza mibein ha-mitzarim. That you can do. How can we relate, therefore, to Yetzias Mitzrayim? By looking at my own straits and my own difficulties, Bein HaMitzarim, that I found myself in this year, I realize that even from that, even if it's miraculous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take me out. And we're looking at verses from Halal. It's so beautiful. How does this relate to Halal?
Min HaMitzar.
Say, who said?
Min HaMitzar.
Beautiful. Kapitel Kof Yod Ches, Pasuk Hei, 118, verse 5 in Tehillim. Min HaMeitzar, Karasia. What's Meitzar? Mitzrayim, Mitzarim. From the straits I call upon God. Min HaMeitzar, Karasia. Anani Bar Merchavia. From the straits I call upon God. Answer me and open me for wide spaces. That's exactly what we're asking to do. It's exactly the experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim. You find yourself in the streets. And how do we know? Because David HaMelech says in the Halah HaMitzri, Min HaMeitzar, Karasika. In a difficult place, who do I call upon? Only the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anani, answer me. Bamerchav, God, open up for me, God. Make me into wide spaces. And if we take this approach to Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Liros Etzat Mekul Yatzam Mitzrayim, then everyone can fulfill. And through relating to our individual Mitzrayim, we can relate to the national Mitzrayim. It's clear? Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs writes, Hallel is the, he's talking about Hallel HaMitzri, okay? Hallel, for your own reference, it's Kapitlach of Tehillim, Kuf Yod Gimel through Kuf Yod Ches, chapters 113 through 118, okay? And this forms the bulk of Hallel HaMitzri, which is what we refer to typically as Hallel. Nobody calls Pesukei the Zirma Hallel, except that we're learning it really is, because the Gemara says that's natural Hallel, this is supernatural Hallel. So Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs says, Hallel is the great song of deliverance according to the Talmud. It's very interesting what the piece we're coming to now was sung at the great triumphs of Jewish history. So he quotes Rav Salvechik. So Rav Salvechik asks an interesting question about the recitation of Hallel at Seder night. The Talmud states in the Maseches Megillah 14a, we don't say Hallel on Purim. Why not? Who knows why? Ah. Because we know. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim night, says the Gemara? Because we say Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is praising Hashem. So Rav Salvechik asks, so why don't we apply the same reasoning to the Seder? The Megillas Esther tells the story of Lahashmi Dahara Gula Abed, and it tells the story of Louis de Meiser Orvisim Chasas and Vikor. We have the same thing. Avadim Hayinu the power of Mitzrayim is equal to the Shibut. The Yotzi'inu Shamisham Biyar Chazak is equal to the salvation. So we can apply the same question, especially because I'm talking fast. Especially because parallel is recited usually during the day. So you would think that the Haggadah is Matir Halal. I shouldn't say Halal tonight because I'm saying the Haggadah. So if Salvechik says, why don't we apply what the Chazal say in regard to Purim? We read Megillah, you don't need Halal. Especially, by the way, we read Megillah at night. So we read Haggadah, so I don't need Halal. Interesting question. The answer that Rabbi Sachs gives is as follows. There are two different motivations to say Hallel, and he's quoting the Nitziv. The first motivation to say Hallel is at the time of a miracle. Excuse me. The second time is a remembrance of the anniversary of the miracle. The first time you say Hallel, the first instance that motivates Hallel is the miracle itself. You live through a miracle, you say Hallel. The second instance that motivates Hallel is remembering the miracle, not living through the miracle itself. So therefore, at the time of Hanukkah, the Maccabim said Hallel at the moment of victory. The next year they established it as an annual obligation. When they first said it, it was the first mode of Hallel. Rav Beis Sachs says this is expressive. It results from living through the miracle. So you feel the emotion build up inside of you. So you express from a very deep place your thanks to God. The second time is a remembrance. It is evocative. The first Hallel that I say because I lived through the Nes, what did we just say? It is expressive. I can't hold back. I must thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. I just left Mitzrayim. I was just saved. We found an Afshema. We were saved from the Yavanim. The second Hallel is not expressive, but rather evocative. It brings up memories of a past event. And in order to remember what happened, I tap into the Koach of Hallel. Sachs says it beautifully. The first gives voice to an emotion we already feel. The second creates the emotion through an act of memory. Should I repeat that? It's a beautiful line. The first gives voice to an emotion we already feel. Because you live through it. So you feel the geschmack of the nes. The second creates the emotion through an act of memory, recalling an event that occurred in the past. So telling the story, as we do on Purim, is equivalent to the second form of Hallel. The Megillah is evocative. It reminds us of something that was. The sages don't say, B'chol dar v'dar chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki hilu hu yatzam miparus u'mada yu haman. Don't tell me that. So how the Megillah as a form of Hallel on Purim is evocative. It takes me back to the past. It is meant to awaken a dormant emotion to allow me to remember something that happened after Churban Bayis Rishon. What's the difference? What about Pesach? We said Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Hilu Yatzam Mitzrayim. It's not evocative. It's not a memory. It's right now. The challah that we say at the Pesach Seder is not the challah that we say the other times of the year to evoke memories of the past. We are actually, says Rabbi Sachs, reliving the experience. And therefore, it's the first type of challah. Not the first, I keep saying it wrong. Not the first type of challah. The first motivation for saying challah. It's not memory. I'm not trying to recall something. I am there. I am going out. We eat the bread of oppression, matzah. We eat mara, the bitter herbs. We taste the wine of freedom. We recline as free men. The challah we say on Seder nights, as Rabbi Sachs, is the first kind. It arises out of the emotion of living through the event again. This is the Shir Chadash, the new song that we say. This kind of challah is not canceled by telling the story. So the Haggadah is not enough. Because if you're leaving, and if you truly feel like you're leaving, and if you are zocha to miracles on such a grand scale, you are motivated, you are drawn, you are pushed, you are emotional to express naturally thanks to God for supernatural miracles. You're not reliving, you're not recalling an event through memory. You're reliving the event in the here and now. And that is not canceled out by the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Clear? Time's up. Okay, the Pasuk says, Kapitel Kuf Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 113, verse 1. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, hallelujah, Hashem, Hashem. So the servants of God praise Him, praise the name of Hashem. Rabbi Eliel Kitov quotes the Sfas Emes, Avdei Hashem, say the sages, and not Avdei Paro. We started off as Avadim LeParo Hayinu B'Mitzrayim. And now our new status is we are Avdei Hashem. What's the greatest compliment you can give a Jew? Vayismach Moshe B'matnas Chalcho Ki Aved Na'aman Karasalo. So what's the difference in status? There I was Avadim Hayinu LeParo B'Mitzrayim, and now I am Avdei Hashem. So what did I gain? That's the difference. When a human being is forced to serve another human being, the slave's soul is brought to grief. He will never stop trying to free himself from the shackles, the burden, the obligation to his master. Nobody, Chalila Bachas, wants to serve another human being. I'm reading now a book on Irina Sandler. You know her name? She's very famous. She is responsible for saving over 2,000 children from the Warsaw Ghetto. One of the righteous of the Ummah Sa'olam, it's called Irina's Children. It's really very, very difficult and painful. She was appalled, and she was privy to witness scenes in the Warsaw Ghetto that not too many from the outside wish. She had a pass. She was allowed into the ghetto. She went in every single day. She was there for the liquidation. Very, very difficult book. Nobody wants to serve another human being. That's a servant. Serving a Kodesh Baruch, and you're always trying to throw off the shackles. However, Lahavda of Alfei Havdalos, serving a Kodesh Baruch who brings joy. And it's totally the opposite experience, if we can even compare, to serving a Basar Vadam. Whereas the servant of a Basar Vadam always wants to break free. He who serves God, really, always wants to come closer and closer. Someone who's a Mevak Shei Hashem, we have this pasuk just in Parashas Ki Tisa, someone who is, this phrase, someone who is always seeking out God, wants not to be distant from Him, but you truly want to become closer and closer. And that is the new status we got at Yetziat Mitzrayim. We ran into the desert. And what does the Navi so famously say? Lachdach acharei b'midbar b'eretz lo zaro. Who does that? Why would we do that? With some matzah, there was no time, because you want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pasuk says in Sefer Vayikra ki avdaihim, they're my servants, asher otzeisi asam m'eretz Mitzrayim. Every good Jew, says Rabbi Kitov, looks for ways to make God master and king over him, which is the opposite of what we try and do if we're meshubah to flesh and blood, chalila v'chas lo aleinu. We testify that Hashem is unique, He is our master, Malkeinu, He is our king, Malkeinu, Avinu. And therefore on Pesach, the primary joy arises from accepting this new status, master and king, and it is a privilege to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm trying to think, someone who has the zchus to be a shamish for, a gadol hador, for example. There's no payment. It's such a zchus. You want to do more and more and more. So lahavdil, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't consider yourself an oppressed slave. The avdus brings you to freedom. Al tekri charus, al acherus. Ein lecha ben choron al misha osek b'talmud Torah. So while it's true, the term is the same. Avadim ayinu lepar b'mitzrayim. And now we say re'ovdei Hashem. The motivation and the feeling is completely different. In one, we want to break free. This is such a good line. In the former, we want to break free. In the latter, we are free. The former is avdus, in which we want to break free. The latter is avdus, in which we have found freedom. I found this unbelievable story by Fabian Schoenfeld, the Rabbi Emeritus. How do you say that?
Emeritus.
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 White, one person.
Emeritus.
Emeritus. Okay. Rabbi Emeritus.
Yeah.
Of young Israel of Kew Garden Hills related the following story, which he heard from Menachem Begin himself. Unbelievable. He told us that his father was walking with Rav Simcha Zelig. Menachem Begin tells a story about his father. Rav Simcha Zelig was the Dayan of Brisk. Rav Simcha Zelig was among those who were close to the Nitziv. The only person, Rav Chaim Brisker, would speak completely and openly, sharing his innermost thoughts. Rav Chaim Salvechik of Brisk was with Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan of Brisk. Right? So Menachem Begin's father was walking with Rav Simcha Zelig, and he was being attacked by a Polish soldier. Begin, this is Menachem Begin's father, had a cane. He hit the soldier on the head. And then Al Pi Neis, and Rabbi Schoenfeld says, I am quoting Begin's own words, Al Pi Neis, by the matter of a complete miracle, the soldier ran away. So Rav Simcha Zelig said to him, how dare you do such a thing? The soldier could have killed you. So Begin said, listen, I have to teach him. You don't pull a rabbi by his beard. And number two, what would he have done to me? Would he have killed me? I would have died. Al Kiddush Hashem, right? Menachem Begin then turned to Rabbi Schoenfeld and he said, quote, you should know if people were as ready to die for Kiddush Hashem, then we should be so ready to live for Kiddush Hashem. It's an unbelievable story. These are the roots of our people. And Rashi says, even if he takes your life, imagine the perception, the dveikus, the avdus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Al pineis, the soldier ran away. So Rav Simcha Zelig said, what are you doing? So he says, what's the worst that would have happened? I would have died. Would have been Al Kiddush Hashem. So Menachem Begin, if that's how we're prepared to die, how should we be prepared to live? Any questions or comments? Everything's clear? Okay. Are you happy you came? Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yes?
Why do we divide the Hallel and the Night of Seder, like separated by the meal?
The Hallel and the Night of Seder, sort of Salvechik speaks about this. But I didn't prepare. I don't remember what he said. I need to look it up. But we could follow up. Okay? Hallelujah, hallelujah, avdei Hashem. Yalkut Shimoni says something unbelievable. Who said these words? Paro himself. Al Chumani says, who said these actual words? Praise him, Avdei Hashem, Paro. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the tenth plague, Paro got up and he says, where is Moshe? Where is Aaron? And he went knocking on the doors. And he said, fool, you think we're going to leave Egypt at this hour? For a whole year we're asking you to leave Egypt. For 116 years you enslaved us. It's the middle of the night, you think we're leaving Egypt? Paro says, get up and leave. So they said, what are we, thieves? We're not sneaking out of here. We're not going to leave till the morning. Paro cried, but everyone in Egypt is dying. They said, aha, here's the motivation. Why do you want us to finally leave? You're afraid of your own life. Behold, said Paro, you are free to do as you wish. You are now servants of the Holy One. Halu avdei Hashem. Paro immediately began to shout, says Yaakov Shimoni, in the past you were my servants. Now you are free. Do what you want. Sing praises. You are his servants. Halu avdei Hashem. So when it comes to the ultimate truth, even the Umas HaOlam realize who we belong to, who we serve, who we are Meshubah to. Ram al kol gayim Hashem. Hashem is more elevated. He's above all the nations. Al Hashemayim Kivodo, his glory is in the heavens. Mika Hashem Elokeinu Amagbi L'Shevas, who is like Hashem, our God, who dwells on high. Hamashpili L'Ros B'Shemayim Uvarz. He contracts himself, so to speak. He lowers himself down to see what's going on in the heavens and earth. Mikimi Me'Afardal. He lifts up the pauper, Me'Ashvas, from the garbage heaps. Yarim Evyon. He lifts up the destitutes. It's part of Hallel, that sometimes a person feels so low down, not literally in the garbage heap, But you feel like you're in such a low place. But even from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and He lifts you up. Mikimi me afradal, you're in the dust, destitute. You have the Yeshua. My Ashbos Yarim Evon. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks so beautifully writes, Rabbi Yochanan says, he quotes the Gemara Maseches Megillah, wherever you find God's greatness, there you find His humility. The greatness of God lies in His concern for the poor, the weak, the marginal, the disenfranchised. The greatness of God lies in these words, Mikimi me afarda me ashvos yarim evron. A human king, a basar v'adam, is concerned with the big things in the cabinet and in the government and in the community and in the country. He doesn't get his hands dirty with the small stuff. He doesn't have time for this. It's beneath his dignity to take care of such petty matters. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, the small things, the cries, the poor one, the destitute, the person in the garbage heap, Kosh Baruch Hu comes down and lifts up that very person. The greatness of God lies in His concern for the poor, the weak, the marginal, the disenfranchised. Moral, as opposed to physical power, is shown in the regard we have for the powerless. Moral, as opposed to physical power, is shown in regard that we have for the powerless. On Pesach, it was the Chasdei Hashem that He redeemed us from servitude in Egypt. The Gemara says, until Moshe came and set meals for us, we were like chickens pecking in the chicken coop for food. That's how we lived. And Moshe came and He redeemed us, obviously from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a tremendous chesed of Hashem that He redeemed us from bondage. That He took such low people and raised us up to the highest heights. So what does this have to do with us? Besides for the fact that we're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He's not only concerned with the big things, He's concerned with the small things. He doesn't appoint other people, Kaviyacho, to take care of those who are low down. He takes care of everyone Himself. But what else do we learn from there? We have a very, very important principle, a very important mitzvah, v'halachta b'drachav. What does it mean, v'halachta b'drachav? To go in His ways. To emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara famously says in Maseches Sota 14a, Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chama says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Ma'i dichsi v'acharei Hashem elkechem tilchu. What does the pasuk mean in Devarim? Should go after Hashem your God. V'chi efshar lo la'adam leilech achar shechina. Is it possible for man to go after the shechina? V'halo ne'emar, doesn't it say, ki Hashem elkech eish achahu. God is a consuming fire. So how could you go after God? But you have a command to go after God. So what does the Gemara say?
To follow His way.
Ah, beautiful. To go after the midos, the qualities, the character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara gives four examples. He clothes the unclothed. You must clothe the unclothed. Based on, He made clothing for Adam and his wife. He visits the sick. Parshas Vayera, you must visit the sick. He does Nichum Aveilim. He went to Yitzchak after the death of his father. You do Nichum Aveilim. And finally, He buried Moshe Rabbeinu. You too must do Levayis HaMeis, Kivur Mesim. So we are commanded to leilech achar midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with the downtrodden and the weak, mikimi afarda me ashvos sarim evelin, He was in the garbage heap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, oh, you're not important enough for me. And again, garbage heap does not only mean literally the garbage heap. It means any person who is b'mitzarim in the streets during that year. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even him I'm interested in. So if you have a mitzvah to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then where does that leave us? Halach ma'anya diachalu avasana bar de mitrayim. This is the bread of our affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. But it's not enough to have myself at the Seder. And it's not enough to have my family at the Seder. And it's not enough to have my best friend at the Seder. It's very nice. Enjoy it. Kol kavod. Good. But what else do we say? Kol dichvin. Are you in need? Yeseh v'yechal. Kol ditzrich yeseh v'yifsach. How do we open the entire Pesach Seder? Are you in need? Could be spiritual need. No, could be a physical need. That's v'yechal. Could be a spiritual need, v'yifsach. Understand the difference? Yechal represents eating. This person is physically needy. Yifsach, this is in my own ha'ara, I believe I read it by Rabbi Lau. Yifsach represents someone who has a spiritual need. Blessed Yisrael. Sometimes finds himself in a low down place. Sometimes I need a place to mamash eat. Sometimes I need a place to be spiritually revived. So if I have to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, And the whole Yitzir was the one of Chesed. Because the Pasuk tells us, and Rashi tells us, Shem looked and we didn't even have merits to get out. So why was he even taking us out if we didn't have merits? The whole Yitziat Mitzrayim, which was miraculous in nature, was Chesed. So then I have to emulate his ways. So I have to make sure my Seder is also a Seder of Chesed. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, who I brought up briefly before, was famously concerned with the downcast of society. If there was an unwed mother in town, he took it upon himself personally to find her a shidduch. Rav Chaim received a salary of 70, Rav's grandfather, Zichronim Tzadikim Vracha. He received a salary of 75 rubles a week. His wife said he should ask for a raise. He asked for 90. It was refused. Even though he received only 75 rubles a week, if an ani, if a pauper came to his door, he would give away his entire paycheck. He had no concept, it's famous, it's brought down, he would just give away everything. He had no concept of keeping anything for himself. His wife had to hide it from him in order to save some for themselves. Rabbi Chaim, the Soloveitchik tells us over, once made an enemy that way, a rich gavir. A wealthy, important guy in town came to give Rav Chaim Mishloach Manos, and as the Gavir is giving him the Mishloach Manos, and he's still there, a pauper comes in. Rav Chaim takes the entire Mishloach Manos, and he gives it to the Ani. The rich Gavir was very insulted, and he left. Gedolei Yisrael, says Rav Soloveitchik, represent spirituality, refinement in conduct, sensitivity, sympathy, compassion. As far as Chesed is concerned, there was no greater Baal Chesed than Rabbi Chaim Brisker. As a matter of fact, on Rabbi Chaim's tombstone, in accordance with his tzava, his will, no accolades, no attributes, no ta'arim. He didn't want any Rosh Kol B'nei Hagola, Haga'an Hagadol, all the great things you could think that you would want to put on Rabbi Chaim Brisker's tombstone. He wanted nothing. Rabbi Soloveitchik says his father, Rav Moshe, and his uncle, the Brisker Rav, insisted on one thing. You know what the one thing was? Rav Chesed. And therefore, Rav Chaim ben Yosef Dov Halevi, the son of the Brisker Rav, Rav HaChesed. This can accompany him to the next world. All the Torah he was marbits, everything he learned, why do we put on here? That he's a Rav Chesed. In my opinion, says Rav Soloveitchik, of his grandfather, in his Chesed personality, he towered above his intellectual personality, no matter how great he was intellectually. It's an unbelievable thing to consider. All the Torah we learn, it's all very important. All the intellectual stimulation, all the mitzvahs we do, please, I'm not knocking it, chalil v'chas. We have to keep it up. But we have to remember the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, we were low down. The Gemara says we were like chickens pecking in the coop. The way he took us out, the way he lifted us up, Mikimi me afardal me ashvos yarim. He lifted us up to the highest heights, Rome, Al Kalgaim Hashem. He brought us up to those heights, is the way we must treat our fellow human being. Which brings us to an unbelievable ha'ara that somebody shared with me, B'shem Arma Jonathan Friedman of Yerushalayim Mir Kodesh shared this with me. It's the Torah teaching of his Rabbi, Rabbi Machlas. It's such a beautiful verb. Unbelievable. The Pasuk tells us, okay, it's in Sefer Shemos, Perikud Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, chapter 13, verse 4. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Today you are leaving b'chodesh ha'aviv. Pesach has different names. Chag ha'matzos, Chag ha'pesach, and must be in the aviv, we know. Chag ha'aviv. What's so important about spring? Okay. So some of the typical answers we know. But I want to tell you what Rabbi Machlas says. He has an unbelievable ha'ara. Maybe you heard it. I think it's just so unbelievably powerful. Rashi says on that pasuk, and it's Sefer Shemos, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Dalet. You could look up Rashi yourself. B'chodesh ha'aviv. So we know it's Nisan. Because Parshas B'shach, Perek Yud Beis, tells us, ha'chodesh ha'zalachan, we're in Nisan. Everyone knows Nisan is spring. So Rashi says, v'chi lo hayinu yodim be'ez ha'chodesh. We don't know it's spring. Why is the Torah who doesn't waste ink, Dafka, telling me it's spring? Alakach amar lahem. What was the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying? What's the Torah saying? Ru'u chesed shegimalchem. Look at the chesed Hashem did for you. He took you out in the month that is kosher, let's say. It's ripe for going out kosher. No, you don't mean kosher. We mean appropriate. You know what I mean? By kosher, it's kosher to go out. Lo chama, it's not too hot. Lo tzina, it's not too cold. Lo geshamim, it's not raining. It's a good month. And then Rashi quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Tehillim's Perek Samet Chas, pasuk 68. Motzi asirim bakoshoras. He takes out the prisoners in the kosher month. Okay. So we left in the spring, says Rashi. Chaz, it tells us the chesed of Hashem. He took us out in the kosher time. Rabbi Mordechai Machlis has such a beautiful insight in this. It was the most pleasant time of year to leave Egypt. Okay, so far we haven't had spring. Our calendar seems to be very confused. It's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold, we can't get straight, it's cold. But Be'ezus Hashem, spring will soon come. It's one of our favorite months of the year. Everything's blossoming, we come back to life, you feel so good, you feel completely different in the spring. It was the most pleasant time of year, and this is when Hashem took us out. We have to be thankful He took us out in the spring. Good. Rav Nachman says something unbelievable. Let's say someone will come to the Jews, Rachman al-Tzan, though later in the Holocaust. And they would say, listen, I'm here to free you. I know it's December. You're going to have to wear a coat. I'm not making a joke. Think about this. It's very cold. Or it's the fall. It's windy, blustery, and rainy. Do you still want to leave? The weather's not so great. So what would the slave say? She says, Paro had tsaras, he would shecht Jewish babies and bathe in their blood. If we didn't have the Holocaust experience to relate to, we would think that this is not emes. You would think it was science fiction. Who shecht? Rashi uses the word. Vahaya shochei tinokos Yisrael. Shecht. Who thinks that you would shecht babies and fill up a bathtub of blood and bathe in them? Listen to what I'm saying. But it's true. We've seen it time and again. So if someone comes in December and says, there's going to be a blizzard, do you still want to leave? Do I want to leave? I'll wear a coat. Do I want to leave? I'll put on boots. Do I want to leave? I'll get gloves. You think I want to wait until the spring? He's shechting my baby? Of course I want to leave. What's the chesed of the Aviv? It's a geshmak question. It's an unbelievable question. The chesed is that he took us out. Who cares about the season? It's ludicrous. It's asinine. I don't care when it's raining, I'll put on a jacket. It's an unbelievable question. It's such a piercing question. The Torah emphasizes Chodesh Aviv. I call the Yom Tov Aviv. I have to be Yibur Shana because it always must occur in spring. Who cares? I just want to leave. Chazar of Hashem is Yitziat Mitzrayim, and it was miraculous. Not the season. It's unbelievable. My thanks to Jonathan Friedman for sending me this. It's unbelievable. Rabbi Machla says, Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a fundamental lesson in how we do chesed. Remember, we already quoted the Gemara Maseches Sota 14a, Mahu afata. Mahu malbisharumim afata malbisharumim. Mahu bikrochom afata bikrochom. Torah tchilasa chesed, says the Gemara on that same page, v'sofa chesed. It's all encompassing. How do I go after Kadosh Baruch Hu? Lahaleich achar midos of shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. God does so that I learn what to do. So what's the answer to the question? He's teaching us a lesson about how to do chesed, how to do kindness. If you're involved in feeding someone, you can give them the leftovers from last week that are hiding behind the fresh food in the freezer. You could scrape together food that nobody wants. It's not so pleasant, but you're still feeding them. Or you could do the chesed in the most pleasant, loving, easy to accept, happy manner. It's a chesed to feed someone who has no food. It's true. It's a chesed to take someone out in the winter. It's true. But do it in a way that is more bekavadik, that is more pleasant, that is more palpable, that is more loving to the person themselves. Do you understand? If someone doesn't have a place to sleep tonight, you could invite him in, says Rabbi Machlis. You could give him a broken mattress in the corner of your house, but that's not the highest level of kindness. It's not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kindness with us, but it's of the highest level, on the highest order. Why? Because he is the Melamei Torah La'am Yisrael, says Rav Salavechik. This signifies our intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants us to emulate his ways. He is our teacher. Capital T. Give the person the most comfortable conditions. Give them the most spring-like conditions you can find when you do chesed for somebody else. Therefore, we are learning a fundamental lesson into chasdei Hashem, which we must emulate. It's not only what we do, it's how we do. And we say it over and over, and we know that, but we learn this from Chodesh to Aviv. It's unbelievable. Aviv, the first two words, the first two letters actually are Av. Abba is in there. Not Abba, Av. Hashem is our Father, and He teaches us the way in which we must do for others. Rabbi Maracha says it happens so often when people help others, they look down on the person who is in need. And if we're intellectually honest, this is true. I'm not saying always, I'm not saying you, but it happens. The people who do chesed look down. They say, "Sir Rabbi Maracha, Aya Nebuch, a low life. Look how sad he is. Look at his life." But Hashem released us in the most opportune month to teach us. He could have taken us out whenever he wanted. To teach us how to do chesed with somebody else. Don't give them the leftovers. Don't give them the old shmata. They need something. They're in need. Go and give it to them properly. Make them feel like a mensch. Make it pleasant to be the receiver of the chesed. It's beautiful. Meis Hashem haisa zos, hini flas be'einenu, zahayam asa Hashem nagila v'nismecha bo, ana Hashem oshiana, ana Hashem hatzlichana. It's from Hashem, how great is this? This is the day Hashem made, let us rejoice and be glad. Please God save us, please God save us. And he was passionate about mitzvos, not only for herself performing them, but getting others to perform them as well. She was like an heiress. I have a friend, she once told me many years ago, but it's cute, that if I say something incorrectly, just tell them that's how we grew up saying it in Canada. She inherited a huge fortune. She wanted not only to enjoy it herself, but others should enjoy it with her. She did not start with 100 people, said Rabbi Maracha's. She did not start with international fame. She started with a single individual. In a class at the Azamra Seminary, in regard to the mitzvah of eating masa on Pesach, many related the following. In Sefer Shmos, going back to Perikud Gimel, a lot of what we do, so much of what we do, focuses around Parashas Bo. Shmos Ve'era Bo, B'Shalach. Okay, Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Vav, chapter 13, verse 6. Shivas Yamim Tocha Matzos. For 7 days you should eat matzo. B'yam HaShvi Chag HaShem. The seventh day is a Chag HaShem. Shivas Yamim Tocha Matzos. The very next Pasuk, Pasuk Zayin, chapter 13, verse 7, says, Matzos Yochel Es Shivas HaYamim. Should eat matzah for 7 days? What did Pasuk Vav tell me? You should eat matzah for 7 days. What did Pasuk Zion tell me? Should eat matzah for 7 days. So there was extra ink, so we need to write 2 times, you should eat matzah for 7 days. You told me why it's not even like a parsha ago. It's not even like a sefer ago, like I could have forgot. It's one Pasuk to the next Pasuk. So what's it coming to teach us? So Henny says there are a lot of answers to this question, but she says the one that I like the most is the Torah is telling you it's not enough for you to eat matzah. You have to make sure everybody else also eats matzah. Make sure everyone around you in Am Yisrael is eating matzah. So she says, I want to tell you a story. I was in Ashkelon with my family on Pesach. On the last day of Chol HaMoed, we went to the marina. The Machlisus took a trip. We met an American couple. They had just landed with their yacht. They were going around the world. They stopped in Ashkelon. They wanted to visit Israel. It was Pesach. We were talking to them. The wife is Jewish. They didn't know what Pesach was. They didn't know what matzah was. She had never eaten matzah on Pesach. So in her characteristic fashion, it was Henny. She took some matzah. She walked back from the hotel to the marina, and she gave it to her. It was the first time this woman ever experienced the taste of matzah, the eating of matzah, the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. So it's not enough that you eat matzah. One pasuk tells you you should eat matzah. The second pasuk tells you you should ensure that others are eating matzah. In America, she says, wherever you are, there may be Jews who have not eaten matzah. So she gives you advice. Carry around some matzah in your pocketbook. And you should say, oh, are you Jewish? Would you like to have matzah? I'm going to end. Yasar Yisrani Ka. V'lamavis lo nisanani. The pasuk from Tehillim, for your own reference, is Perikuf Yerchas. You want to hear what kapitel and perikot is? Kapitel and Pasuk. Kuf Yod Chas, Pasuk Yod Chas. Why is that so unbelievable? Chai. 18. 118? 18. Yasar Yisrani Ka. Lamavis lo nisanani. Close to somebody who went through a certain difficult period a number of years ago. And in an email at the time that he sent his Rebbe, he wrote, Rebbe, Yasar Yisrani Ka, a very difficult time, like not a pasha time. A very, very difficult Yasar Yisrani. V'lamavis lo nisanani. So I'm going to end with the following story. It's a bit lengthier than stories that I usually tell. Try and mix Geshmak Torah with stories to bring the point home. But it's a very important story. And we started 5 minutes late, so I'm not going to go over my time because I have 7 minutes. Willie Nader. Mrs. Aviva Wisnika writes this story. It was just published by the OU in the Jewish Action. I know her personally. I grew up with, my mother knows her. I went to school with one of her daughters. My brothers know her son Pesach. I know this woman. Never knew this story. I'm going to share the story she wrote about her father. And I think it brings together everything we're speaking about today. Hallel. Becoming Ovdei Hashem, we said. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. Paro said, you're free to serve God. Enslavement to a human being brings the desire for freedom. Enslavement to God brings freedom. Ties together Avdei Hashem, what it means to be an Avdei Hashem. Yasar Yisrani Kavala Mavis Lona Sanani. It relates to finding God in the natural and the supernatural. It relates to the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu lifts us up even when we are in the garbage heaps. And it relates to realizing that Bechol Darva Darchayev Adam Liros is Atzma Kihilu Hu Yatza Min Hamitzariv Min Hametzar Karasi Ka Anani Barmerchavya. Mrs. Aviva Wisnika writes, it was the most envied of jobs among the Auschwitz inmates to work in the kitchen. A few crumbs, a stolen bite of vegetable, a piece of bread would go a long way towards curbing the hunger pangs that the inmates were forced to endure. And if the work detail got the position of working in the kitchen that served the Nazis, it was as if they had won the lottery. They could always taste leftovers, rejected turnip, some soup, a piece of meat. It could be eaten right then and there. There was no evidence that the slave had stolen. But for some, this was too heavy a burden to eat the food for themselves. They would sneak food out of the kitchen to bring back for their fellow inmates. Risks were common. The meager Auschwitz diet was supplemented by those who worked in the kitchen. As daring as that venture was, and they undertook compassion for others, we spoke about chesed for others, in stark defiance of their Nazi masters, yimach shemam v'zichram, they undertook a bold plan, Pesach 1943. The rabbis and Torah scholars in Auschwitz had painstakingly calculated and etched a somewhat cryptic and veiled Jewish calendar on the barracks walls. Hachodesh hazalachem rosh chodashim, you own time when you're a free person. To the inmates, the etched numbers and the symbols represented the passage of time, which was very difficult to count in the hellish conditions of Auschwitz. They communicated time, they kept the dates, they knew when the holidays fell. They scratched off the last month, they knew it was Nisan, the month before Pesach, when we celebrate Yetziat Mitzrayim, from slavery to freedom. Freedom to be celebrated, to fulfill God's commandments. It was the essence of the holiday, but in Auschwitz, it was a dream, a daring hope and aspiration of every Jew. And she writes, and my grandfather in his memoirs, Yitzchak Moshe, Alav Hashem, also writes that he lay in the barrack and he was in 7 camps in 3 years, and he said to his friend, we suffer today so the Messiah will come, my grandfather wrote. And Aviva Wisnika writes about her father. There was a dream, a daring hope, an aspiration. It was the perfect time, the inmates believed, for Mashiach to come. As children, the inmates had stood in their parents' home and they opened the door for the kosher Eliyahu Shvach HaMascha Al-Gaim HaShalai Yaducha. And now pursue them with wrath. The prophet Elijah, Eliyahu Nevi, would step into Auschwitz to herald the long-awaited redemption. It was a time for a miracle. Pesach is, Hala HaMisri, the time of the miraculous. Let it happen now. And therefore, the inmates in the kitchen took it upon themselves. They koshered an oven. It's unbelievable. They set aside a little bit of flour every day. At great risk, this is happening at night, they snuck into the kitchen at dark at night. The oven was koshered for Pesach, and they had set aside some flour. The oven was scrubbed, cleaned, torched. Under camouflage, they set a guard. With practice, dexterity, and timed precision, 5 round matzos were rapidly shaped and baked in the midst of the depravity of Auschwitz. A minion, including the baker and several men, had been formed. Each candidate was carefully chosen for his worthiness and his commitment before he was invited to partake of these matzos. It was decided amongst this minion of men that they would refrain from chametz for the entire week of Pesach. They hoped that there would be vegetables to supplement their diet. Each of the minion would get half a matzah. They would live on that half a matzah with water for 1 week. No chametz. Only if there were vegetables, they would supplement their diet. There were no vegetables given. The Nazis knew the Jewish holidays. They coordinated it perfectly to torture us even more. That day, writes Aviva Wisnik about her father, Pesach Chachmetz. His name is Pesach. He was born on Leil HaSeder, her father. The day that Pesach Chachmetz first entered Auschwitz, he learned his family had been murdered at their catastrophic fate. He knew he was all alone in the world. The holiday was always close to Pesach, and he stepped forward. He volunteered. He was going to be one of the minion, one of those 10 men who would survive on half a matzah. When he received his portion, the size of the portion seems to have diminished from what he first imagined. He swallowed hard as he saw his share of the bread of affliction. He turned to heaven to offer a prayer of thanks for the special privilege of having matzah for Pesach. Sorry, Yisrani Kavala, Mavis Lonis Anani. And then he cried out a desperate plea to God to please help him get through the week. The 10 men resolved they would give away any chametz that they received to those who wanted it. It was not hard to find customers who wanted the extra portion of bread and porridge. That year, her father, Pesach Chachmetz, Alav Hashalom, and 9 other men each survived the entire week on half of matzah and water, working, standing in endless lines of roll call, retreating at night to sleep on the crowded planks in the stinking holes of Auschwitz barracks. There were those who ate their share in the first 2 days. Others, like her father Pesach, made it last to the end of the 7th day, when the man they considered their Rav told them that they could stop their fast. As the 8th day of Pesach was only added to the holiday outside by the Rabbanim, in light of the risk of starvation, the Rav Paskin that they did not have to keep, Achron Shel Pesach in Galus. Years later, I'm finishing, I know the time, but I want to finish through this story. Years later, at the Seder table that he shared with his growing family in Canada, Pesach would outline with his thumb at the Seder the size of the piece of matzah that sustained him for 1 week in Auschwitz. For someone like this, b'chol dar v'dar, he doesn't have to say, kilu hu yatsa mibein ha-mitzarim. For someone like this, b'chol dar v'dar, chayiv adam l'rosas, atzmo kilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim mamash, where they were shechting tignokos Yisrael and bathing in Jewish blood. Where these kedoshim, they literally left the Shibud Mitzrayim to become Ovdei Hashem. The minion, hope for vegetables, Pesach would say every year at his Seder table, think of this when we dip karpas. The possibility of death, of starvation, was constantly on his mind. They made it through the week, Aviva Wisnika writes. Mashiach did not come. There was no illustrious redemption. But 10 men in Auschwitz walked a little taller, their stance slightly prouder. They defied the enemy. They stood steadfast in their faith. Those around them watched as the 10 were emboldened by their actions, uplifted by their contagious spirits. They whispered about defeat. And next year, they did the same. Not every member of the minion survived the year to bake matzah in 1944. But once again in 1944, 10 men in Auschwitz had matzah for Pesach. By this time, many inmates were aware of what was happening. And even those who could not partake silently cheered the minion on. You know, the Gemara tells us that the first 10 who come to shul bring the Shechina down. The Shechina is in the presence of the minion. In the end, when Pesach came to a close, the Nazis found out about what had happened in 1944. A merciless reprisal was exacted in the Auschwitz field. But a whole Pesach passed before the Nazis found out. And Pesach Chachmetz would tell his family, quote, I didn't care what they would do to me. And Aviva Wisnik punctuates this with an exclamation mark. I didn't care. It was worth it to have matzah on Pesach in spite of them. exclamation mark. It was all worth it, he would tell his family. Pesach would say, remembering this with satisfaction and a broad grin stretching across his face. When I shared the story with my father-in-law, he replied back so beautifully. And his reply back to my email was, quote, "And we complain we don't have pizza for Pesach. It is because of the righteous men of this minyan that we even exist." Tehei zecho baruch. Lafichach, anachnu chayavim lahodos. We are obligated to give thanks. Lahala, l'shabeach, l'fa'er, l'ramim, l'hadar, l'varchu, l'ale, l'kalist, l'misha, asa, l'avoseinu, v'lanu, as kol hanisim ha'elu. Hotzeinu me'avdus l'cheirus, me'yagan l'simcha, me'evil l'yom tov, u'me'afela l'argadol, u'me'shibur l'ge'ula, v'nomar l'fanav shira chadasha. Hallelujah. So I wish you all very meaningful, spiritually uplifting, cheirus filled, chesed filled, hoda'a filled, chag kasher v'sameach, amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.